praise the Lord. And man shall not die. That's just a blessing. I blessed with songs this morning, hymns. Want to greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. Thankful for you to be here. I'm going to open with a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord. Father, we come before you and we thank you, God, for your goodness, for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your word that gives us instruction, Father, to live and to find you, that we may be men that will not die, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd give us wisdom this morning. Give us words. And Lord, help us be faithful to you to carry them out. In Jesus' name. All right. Let's open our Bibles this morning. To Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. We sang about man shall not die. And I want to talk a little this morning about being a man. What it means to be a man, created in the image of God. Man was created in the image of God. People all the time say, well, God made me this way. Or God did this, or God did that, excusing the sin that they may be living in. Trying to blame God for their sin. What they don't understand was while man was made in the image of God, man fell from that image and became separated from God. And instead of reflecting the image of God, have now chosen to reflect the image of devils. And so what was created in the image of God, now because of sin and because of yielding to sin, man has taken on the image of Satan. And Satan has become their master. And what I want to talk about is men being conquerors of all in their lives that has turned them from being what they should be in the image of God. and to return back to that image. Men being men, it's men that are going to go to heaven. It's men that are being that are going to be accepted by Christ. And men that were willing, men that are willing to stand up and be a man. Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Conquering yourself. Conquering yourself. Two greatest laws for man is to love God with all his heart and to love his neighbor as his self. If a man can conquer himself, he's conquered the whole world. It's harder to conquer yourself than anything there is in this world. And if you can do that, you've done more than any king, any conqueror, anyone that's ever accomplished anything. That's what we're going to be judged by on the judgment day. We're not going to be judged by what we overcame in this world or how we conquered and amassed a great wealth, what we've piled up in this world, or how well we're known in this world, or how big an evangelist we were in this world. We're going to be judged by how we conquered ourselves and how we became more and more the image of Christ. That's where value is in this world. That's where greatness is in this world. That's what preserves this world. when men are slaves to their own desires and lust, that's their ruler. The reason churches have to have rules, they have to have standards, they have to have guides, and every little detail spelled out, or agreements among brethren to how they're going to live and things like that. The reason they have to have all that spelled out is because their people are not about conquering themselves and overcoming those things themselves. So we have to have someone set up guidelines for us. We have to have someone walking right beside us to make sure that we're staying in line. When if you would conquer yourself, most of that would be taken care of. Conquering yourself. Let's go to Ephesians. Yeah, no, let's stay right here just a minute. Hardly. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Where is your affection? Is it on things above, or is it on things of this earth? Verse 5 tells us to mortify or put to death your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Inordinate affection. Things that are normal, but they're out of order. It's normal for us to have desires to eat. But how easy that is to get out of order or inordinate. How easy that is to become an inordinate affection. We need food and drink to exist. But how easy that is to be overdone. And how easy that is for men to seek after that. And that's what they wind up living for. Living for what they're going to eat next meal. Hardly get finished with one meal till they're already talking about some other good thing that they would like to eat next meal. With their belly full. And already worried about what they're going to eat next. Their God is their belly. That's an inordinate affection. It should be put to death. Wanting the finest food available. That's an inordinate affection. That's something that most of the people in the world don't even have a choice of. And it's a danger here that will put your soul to sleep. The prelude to judgment is eat, drink, and be merry. The beginning, right before judgment, every time that men begin to think that way, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, they were on the verge of judgment. They were so drowned. Their affections were so lost in their food and their drink and their having a good time that they lost sight of the judgment of God that was coming on this earth. We need to awaken ourselves once in a while. It's what fasting is for. Put aside eating. Put aside eating for a while. Let your mind clear out from those things. Let it cleanse yourself. Let it cleanse your mind from just dwelling on those things. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's the cry of the world. Inordinate affection. It's an affection. It's something that God has naturally put in us that's gone awry, that's gone out of order. That instead of just being a part of being a man, has risen to where the image of man is about eating. Instead of that just being a part of the man. It's risen to the place where a man eats instead of just being a man has to eat. The image of the world, a man just eating piles and piles of food. Until they are just gluttonous. And that's a sin. It's a sin. These restaurants and these places that have these huge portions of food and challenge you to eat the whole thing. That's not manly. They picture someone as being a big man that can eat like that. That's not God's image stamped on him. That's the devil's image. And it's not right. It's lust. Men are slaves to their belly. And it's promoted all over. Obesity. How bad it is in this country that the world is even complaining about it. Those things, not only are they wicked, the reason it's wicked is because it puts the light out. It's ease. It's comforting. It makes you feel at home here. This world is not our home if we're heavenward. If our passion, our affection is set on Christ. This is not our world. Don't get so comfortable in it. That's what Jesus is trying to warn us about. The dangers to stay awake. Lust. Mortify those things. Jesus said, if a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he has committed adultery in his heart. Man has a natural inclination towards a woman, but it has become inordinate. And when you feed that lust, it grows and it grows and it grows, just like a fat person feeds their fat. And you keep feeding it, and it gets more and more and more and more. That's the thing about fat. When it grows, all it wants is more. Lust is the same way. There's a natural affection between man and a woman. But man should control that, just like he's able to control what he eats. He's not a slave to it. God's people are not slaves to their own bodies. Doesn't mean there's not desires there. But man learns to conquer them. That doesn't mean you won't do perfect all the time. But strive to conquer yourself. There's a natural desire for man to have a woman. But if that desire goes anywhere beyond one woman, it's sin. One wife should satisfy one man for all of his life. Anything more than that is an inordinate affection. God provided a woman so that that woman could satisfy that man. before you're converted, before you're following Jesus, that desire can grow and grow and grow. But whenever you start following the Lord, that should be reduced to a very minimal amount. To where one woman can satisfy you. That's why people leave, men leave the desire for woman, is because they've fed that lust, and they've fed that lust, and it went further and further and further until their lustful passions have to have perversion to satisfy them. Alexander the Great conquered the world by the time he was in his low 30s. Conquered the world. They called him Alexander the Great. How was he able to do that? He's been looked up. Looked upon as a great conqueror. Whenever he conquered countries, it said that when he conquered Darius, I'm not sure which kingdom that he had, but he conquered him. And he took captives all the beautiful women, and they brought them to him. They were the fruit of his victory. And he said he wouldn't even go in and look at them, because they were so beautiful. He wouldn't even go in and look at them. And his quote was, "Lest after I've conquered the world, I would be conquered by a woman." He conquered the world, and he was afraid to look upon these beautiful women, because he was a conqueror. And he was afraid that after he conquered the world, he would be conquered by one woman or by a group of women. We see in the Bible how Solomon followed after his own lust with all those women, and they turned him aside from God. A man is not a man that can go out and deceive as many women as he can, take advantage of them. That's not a man. A man is someone who can conquer himself and not be taken in by a woman. Not be controlled by a woman. Be a man. You're not a man because you eat more than anybody else. You're a man when you control what you eat. You're not a man because you can go out and be macho and win all kinds of women's hearts. Man could be in control and not be taken in by a woman. You're not a man because you can drink and chew tobacco and smoke and be tough. That's not a man. That's a slave to a little piece of plant or some drink. That's a sissy. You're a slave to some weed. A man overcomes those things. Man's not a man because he can boast and be proud. Man can humble himself. Man's not a man because he can see how many drugs he can put in his body and still stand up. Man's somebody who don't need those things. Be a man. Man's someone that men can trust. A man, someone who gives his word and keeps it. You know what's wrong with this country? We forgot what being a man is. You know what's wrong with the church? They forgot what being a man is. Man's not a slave to his lust. He's not a slave to his passions. He's not a slave to the trinkets of this world. A man overcomes those things. Strive to overcome them. We haven't obtained. I haven't obtained all what I want to be. I'm not telling you this because I think I've got it all down. I'm just as weak as any of you. But my goal is to be a man. If you can go on and be a bigger man than I am, go on. I'll learn from you, and I can and do. Several years ago, I met a man. We just spent a little time together. We talked a while, and this is the biggest compliment I ever heard in my life. After the man left, he told someone else, "I'm leaving here a better man." Leaving here a better man. That's been a goal in my life since I heard that. That whenever I meet someone, that they would go away again and say, I'm going to leave here a better man than I was. Be a man. Make it your goal to be the best man that you can. That the image of God would be implanted on you. The only way that you can do that is to learn to conquer yourself. Not be enslaved to anyone or anything. Rise up and be a man. Samson, one of the strongest men in the Bible. One time, the Philistines came to him. They had him all tied up, and he broke out. And he found the jawbone of a donkey. And they all tried to fight him, and he whipped 1,000 of them. That'd be quite a man, wouldn't it? To be able to fight 1,000 men. We'd think someone was pretty tough if 2 men jumped on him and he whooped them. This man fought 1,000 men. And whooped them. Then along comes little Delilah, batting her goofy little eyes. She brought him to slavery. You can be stronger than Samson. The strongest man in the Bible. Anyone in here can be stronger than Samson. Be a man. Training your children. Child training is no problem at all. It's easy as pie. Parent training is difficult. If the parents are trained and know what they're doing and can conquer themselves, it's easy to teach their children and to pass those things on. The problem with most child training is the parents aren't trained. The parents aren't disciplined enough to carry it out. Be a man. That don't mean you just storm in and take control. That means you learn to control yourself. Be firm. Be steady. Be a rock. Conquer yourself. Whenever we're a slave to our emotions and they just go up and down and we're tossed to and fro, you're going to cause nothing but chaos in your house. Learn to be a rock. Steady, smooth, dependable. Not thrown about by your emotions. Not derailed because one little thing went wrong here or there. Remember a man that Dale Heisey used to have chickens. He kept chickens of herding. I don't agree with everything he says or does, but I appreciated this. He was working in his chicken house one day and a chicken flew up and landed on his head, scratched his head. I don't know all the details, but I'll just give you my version of what I thought might have happened. Made him mad. I know myself that when something like that happens, it just aggravates you. You're trying to do some work, or you're working on something, and you're sweaty and hot. Dirty. You dropped the wrench. You bent your. You scratched your knuckles. Everything's just kind of gone wrong, and you just. And then a chicken flies up and gets in your hair and starts going flogging you and you're scratching you and going nuts. And that's just all it takes. Just to lose your, blow your temper. Well, that's what happened. He blew his temper. Got mad at that chicken. After he raged a while, he thought about what just happened. And he thought, I've just let a chicken ruin my life for the moment. I've just let a chicken control me. He said after he thought about that, he determined that's never going to happen again. He asked the Lord for help. He realized that his anger was easily swayed. It easily became his master. And he recognized it. And he overcame it. Be a man. You know, some of the smallest things that set the triggers. But you keep letting those triggers be set, and that'll grow, and it'll grow, and it'll grow. That anger will get worse, and it'll get worse, and it'll get worse. Or you can overcome it. God gave us anger. But if it controls you, you're its slave. God gave us a temper. Not to fly off the handle, but to control. It takes temper. They talk about steel having temper. That temper keeps it strong. That temper keeps it solid and firm. But if it gets out of control, it's in control. And not us. Then it becomes an inordinate affection. Becomes perverted. And instead of having the image of God on it, it takes on the image of Satan. A man has the image of God stamped on him. Not the image of Satan. You be the master of your life. You be the master of your life. You be a man. When a man is a man and a woman is a woman, queers will be few. Show the world what a man is. Don't be ashamed of being honest and upright, being clean and pure. The devil makes everyone look like they're ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed of being good. People ought to be ashamed when they're bad. It's all upside down. One of the signs of judgment, I think one of the last things to go before God quits dealing with man is shame. There's so little of it today for wrong. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 5. The unjust, the Bible says, knoweth no shame. We should be ashamed when we're a slave, when we're brought to nothing. Be a man. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we just want to thank you for your goodness to us and for your mercy. Lord, thank you for the challenge you've given us through your words, that each one of us would leave today with a firm commitment and a firm desire to go out of here a better man than we were yesterday, that we wouldn't be ashamed or felt the shame of this world by being men and standing for our God. That we wouldn't be brought to nothing, a slave of these passions, a slave to these lusts. Lord, that we would conquer them, Father, and be men. Help us, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just open it up for anyone to anything they'd like to share.
lot of people are just looking for some magic way to overcome things.